It is so good to see you this morning, and I hope and pray that everything is going well for you, for your family. God has certainly blessed us with a beautiful day to enjoy. And as we're here together, we have visitors with us today, and thank you for being with us. May you come back and visit us on any every occasion that you might have. Stay around for just a little while so that we can get to know you and get to know you better. And just God bless us all as we strive to do His will and to be more like His Son. You know, folks, it's one of the most important things in all the world that we have a clear understanding of the Bible teaching on the subject of the Holy Spirit. John 4 and verse number 24, Jesus says that God is a spirit. And then when we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 that God says, "Be holy for I am holy," we understand that God's Spirit is holy. It is His Holy Spirit. God's spiritual being is no doubt the greatest thing that we read about in regard to the third person of the Godhead. And when we see that His Spirit is of that quality holy, we appreciate it even more. We need to have a clear understanding of the answers to questions, certain questions. For example, why were early Christians endowed with miraculous powers? How were these powers imparted, as we see from the New Testament? How long did they last? And especially, how does the Holy Spirit influence people today in our own context? Well, when we understand those questions and their importance, we understand the importance of studying the subject of the Holy Spirit. For the next few Sundays, we're going to be looking at these questions that relate to the Holy Spirit to help us to come to a greater, a more conclusive understanding of that third person of the Godhead, the Spirit of God that is characterized as being holy. We begin with the words of Jesus and turn your Bibles to John 14 and John 16. Because here in these passages, we see that Jesus makes some monumental statements in regard to the activity and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. No doubt we understand that when Jesus, while He was on earth, He promised the apostles that before His ascension, He would send or He would provide for them the Holy Spirit, and it would be given unto them. Well, that promise was confirmed as He made it in John 14 and John 16. And as you go to Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, that fulfillment of promise was true. Listen to John 14 and verse number 26. Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you, as it says here, all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Turning over to John 16 and verse number 13, Jesus is still speaking. And this is what He says again in relationship to the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. "Howbeit, when He," that is the Spirit of truth, "is come, He will guide you into all truth, for he shall speak not of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you all things," or show you things to come. Well, no doubt that is the great purpose of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus identifies that the Spirit was given and it was brought to humanity purposefully. Purposefully to be indwelled in by the apostles, and that, of course, they would see the purpose and understand the purpose that God had rendered in regard to it. Well, when we think of the purpose of the Holy Spirit, we understand from the words of Jesus in John 14 and John 16 that this purpose involves at least four things. First of all, He said that He would teach them all things. Well, if the apostles did not know all things, then the purpose of the giving of the Holy Spirit to indwell them was to teach them all things. Secondly, it would be to bring to their remembrance all things that Jesus had said to them. Their mind was of a human mind and could not, well, draw up every single conceivable thing that Jesus had done or Jesus that had said. But those things that were profitable and beneficial for the communication and the proclamation to humanity, the Holy Spirit made sure that the apostles and the New Testament writers, they had that in their mind in the way of remembrance. Number three, He would guide them, that is, the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. Not a portion of the truth or part of the truth, but rather all the truth that God had intended for humanity and all the population of the world, they would be guided into the revelation of all of that truth. What we have in the Word of God is all that God intends for us to have, because what we have is that which is sufficient for our lives here on earth and for us going to heaven. Fourthly, he said that he would show them things to come. That is, the things that had not yet been revealed to them that were yet to be in the future, they would be revealed to the apostles so that then they could communicate to the people that they were speaking to. Now, when we see this in the words of Jesus and the purpose of the Holy Spirit, we understand that at least two words are very important in the New Testament in regard to the Holy Spirit. First of all, there is the word revelation. The word revelation simply means making known something that aforetime was unknown. Sometimes you'll run across the word mystery in the New Testament. And a mystery is something that is hidden, that is not known, that is unknown. But when a mystery ceases to be a mystery and it is proclaimed, the mystery ceases being a mystery and then it becomes a revelation. So therefore, the things that were unknown prior to their proclamation, when they were revealed in such a way so that they would be understood by those that heard them. Secondly, there is the word confirmation. Confirmation has to do with the authenticating, that is, making something sure and real and true. There's no question about it, no doubt, no confusion, no error, no difficulty. You see, it's authenticating something that previously or aforetime was unconfirmed. So when it is confirmed, well, folks, you can take that to the bank because it's just as true as everything. When we go to God's Word, we understand that today, now, right here, right now, this very minute, we have God's completed, His perfect revelation for the world to know. It's contained within the Bible. Now, we might have the Bible in a number of forms. You might be looking at your phone today, your electronic device, or maybe a tablet or an iPad, or you might have one in a bound version, a codex. You might even have it on your computer at home or in a multi-volume set. Whatever the means, whatever the mode that you have the Word of God, that is the completed, the perfect will of God. And folks, we have it here and we have it now among us today. Look with me at a few verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul, in a conclusive way, he said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God," that is the Christian, "may be perfect or thoroughly, completely furnished, equipped in doing those things that are of a good nature unto every good work." Paul is saying there that this message, this word, is from God and it's for humanity and it's for the profit or the benefit of humanity. In the third verse of the little book of Jude, we have an amazing statement there that Jude makes. And I want you to notice this verse in relationship to what we're talking about this morning. Jude began by calling those folks to whom he was writing beloved, agapetos. He loved them dearly, deeply, longly. And he said, "When I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation," he said, "that's what I started out to do. We have salvation in common, and I started to write to you all about that." But, he said, then things changed. He said, "I found it needful to write unto you and exhort you that you should," notice, "earnestly contend for the faith." You get in there and give it your all. You contend, agonize for the truth because it is the truth. It is the faith. Now notice what is said about the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. If I gave Brother Lamar Gershman this morning a package or a present and asked him to deliver that to someone at a specific time in a specific area, and he took that and he diligently carried out that and delivered that, he would have fulfilled in delivering that package. It would have concluded. Well, you see, God has delivered the faith to humanity, and it says He delivered it to the saints. The emphasis there, He delivered it once for all time. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said, concerning this very same thing, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3, he said this, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to you, how that by revelation He made known unto you the mystery, He said, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of God, as it is now revealed unto His holy ones and prophets by the Spirit. God's message that is perfect and complete in its entirety is among us today. We have it in the form of His Word. And folks, it was communicated to us by His Spirit. His Spirit is holy. To those that Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1 and the last two verses of that great chapter, listen to this. Peter said this concerning the Word of God, knowing this first. Knowing this what? First. First is priority. He said, I want you to know this first and first of all. What is it? That no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. You see, folks, we did not have anything in its origin. We didn't have anything to do with its origin. He said, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Today we have the Word of God in its fullness, in its completeness, and it has been communicated to us through the revelation of God's Spirit that is characterized as holy. Now, there are several things that we need to note in regard to this. First of all, nothing has been subtracted nor added to it. We're told that in Revelation chapter 22, 18 and 19. In other words, what we have in the book today, back in the time of the New Testament, they had the very same message, but it was in the man then, the apostle, the New Testament writers. They didn't have a copy of the New Testament as we have it today, bound in leather and got gold edges and thumb end. They didn't have that. It was still being revealed at that time. So what they had then in the man, we have today in the book. But folks, not a single solitary part of the message has been changed. It has not been subtracted from. There has not been any additions added to it. It's the same message they had that we have today. Note that. Number two, notice that it allows or it contains already all things that pertain to our living. If you want to know how to live in this world and live for God, you go to God's Word, and there you'll find the answer. But not only that, it'll tell you how to live in the world today, and that is to live a godly life. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Still even further, James in James 1:25 tells us that it's called the perfect law of liberty. The word perfect there is the word complete. So we have everything that we need today. There is not still in some distant future more of the revelation of God to come unto us. We have everything that God intends for us to have in this book today. It's not being changed or altered or subtracted from or added to. All man might take his opinion and apply it to God's Word, but still the Word of God remains the same. Oh, it's important that we note those things, because not only do we see, as we have already mentioned, the importance of revelation, God has made His mind known unto us. But then secondly, I want you to notice the importance of the manner of confirmation. Turning your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, and notice with me there. In Mark 16, we know verses 15 and 16 there, that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to baptize there, and he that is baptized shall be saved. He that is not, does not believe, shall be condemned. We know those passages, and they're so important. But begin with me down in verse number 17, though, of Mark chapter 16, and notice what goes on from there. Verse 17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. The word signs is another word for miracles. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In other words, those that were going about revealing, communicating God's word, they were endowed with miraculous powers. You see, they had the message of the man then. And yet, what was this all about? Notice verse 19 and 20. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth. They who? Now here are the apostles. And they went forth. What did they go forth doing? They went forth everywhere, preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following them. So here you have these apostles, and they're going out after the ascension of Jesus to proclaim that which they had been empowered to communicate. The Spirit of God has indwelled them to give them the message that He wants to be communicated to the world. And they go out preaching that everywhere. But you see, as they begin to preach and as they're preaching, this indwelling of the Spirit allows them to perform miraculous deeds to, according to this text, confirm what they're saying. Well, you know, you begin to think, well, here's a New Testament preacher, an apostle or a New Testament writer, and he makes a great proclamation, preaches a powerful sermon. And then following that sermon, he performs a miraculous deed. He heals someone that everybody knew was sick. He drinks a deadly poison and it does not hurt him. He reaches down and picks up a poisonous viper and the viper bites him and he does not die. What do you think they're going to do in regard to that message? They're going to believe it. Because God is confirming to them that message. Well, you see, folks, what they had then in the man, we have today in the book. It's final, it's complete, it's without error, it is true, right, and beneficial for us all. Now, what was the response in regard to this? Well, you see, the early church saw these miracles performed, and they knew then that the preaching was true. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 1 and following there, the Hebrew writer, he communicates this in a very powerful way. Listen to what he says there. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them? God also bearing them witness. How? With signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. It was God's will that this took place. In fact, when you go to the Gospel of John, John tells us in John 20 that the things that were recorded in His Gospel, the signs and the miracles and the wonders, they were for the purpose of, well, you see, producing faith. Because, you see, they were confirming the Word, the mind of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, we understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When everything that God wanted humanity to have was completely revealed. You take today, we're living in the year AD 2017. AD 2017. Let's back up a little ways. Let's go back to AD 1900 or AD 1300 or AD 600 or AD 250. Let's go all the way back to AD 33 when the church was established. Let's go back to AD 1 when Jesus was born. You see, folks, for a little over 2,000 years, Christ has been the great influential force in this world. Come a little forward from AD 1 back to AD 33, the church is established. Come a little forward to about AD 64. That's when the little book of Jude was written. Come even further to AD 68 to AD 96, somewhere in there where the book of Revelation, it seems somewhere in that period of time was written. You come down to AD 100, everything that God wanted humanity to know from His mind was then completely revealed. After about what, AD 100, nothing else from the mind of God was communicated. Then about AD 120, they collected all of these letters and these gospels and these historical books together, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and Ephesians, and Jude, and Revelation. They gathered all of that together, put it in a codex form, put it in a book form, and it's come down through the history time, down to AD 200 and AD 500 and AD 1600, all the way down to AD 2017. And it's the same message today as it was back in AD 64 when Jude wrote his little letter. As it was in AD 46 when James wrote his epistle to the churches, the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. Folks, it's the same message. And that message has been confirmed. So when the revelation ceased, there was then no more need for the confirmation. So that we understand today, folks, miraculous endowments were given in the first century in connection with the revelation and the confirmation of God's Word. Now, today, God's Word has been completely revealed. It has been completely and thoroughly confirmed. So therefore, when we understand that, the Bible stands today as God's perfectly completed and thoroughly confirmed revelation. And for anyone today to claim that they have miraculous powers is a falsehood. The pseudo miraculous preachers that we see in various capacities are false teachers. Because they claim to have miraculous powers, and in doing so, they are saying very loudly, the Bible is not fully complete. But I'm here to tell you today that it has been completed in its entirety. It has been revealed by the Spirit of God that is holy. It has been confirmed by the miraculous powers that were given unto the apostles that were revealing the Word for confirmation. And today we have just that same book in all its truth and all its honesty. Folks, God's Word, revealed and confirmed by the Spirit of God that is holy, it is sufficient for life and faith and practice and salvation and eternity. In Luke 16, in verse number 31, and we close with this statement. Jesus is telling the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Both have died and gone into the Hadean world. And the rich man, he is in torment and pain and fire and flame. Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom in the lap of luxury in paradise, we would say. And the rich man wants to exchange places. He wants some relief. He even begs Abraham to send Lazarus back to his father's house on earth, his hometown. Tell his old brothers, his five brothers, don't you come to this place. It is terrible here. I beg you, Abraham, send Lazarus. And I read you these last verses as we close this morning. For in Luke 16, in verse number 27, it says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, "No, no, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would then repent." And Abraham said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Folks, Abraham was saying, they have the Word of God. And the Word of God is sufficient to change a person's life and to lead them in the direction of Jesus Christ so that heaven will be their home. Now this morning, that passage in Luke 16, verse 31 is powerful. This morning, if you are not in Jesus Christ, and if you're not in Jesus Christ, you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you're in that condition, hell is awaiting you this morning. And I beg and plead with every fiber of my being this morning that no one in the sound of my voice would remain in that condition. And so let me say, as a dying man speaking to a group of dying men and women, if you're lost this morning, please, don't remain that way. Folks, God is too good and life is too short for heaven not to be your eternal home. But folks, if there is sin in your life, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it, if there is drinking and cursing and lying around and fornicating and adultering and any kind of sin that is present in your life, pornography, all of these things, if it is in your life today, you're lost. And I beg and plead with you. Folks, God is too good and life is too short for heaven to not be your home. God's Word is among us today. And God's Word says, come to Jesus. And if you'll come to Jesus today in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, that you'll put on Christ in baptism to live the way the Lord wants you to live, that you'll die and you'll go to heaven and you'll be with the redeemed for all of eternity. But if you've done that, but yet strayed away, come on home today. No better thing than a family reunion today, if that's your need. And I thank you for your attention this morning, that you'll act upon that and do what the Bible says. And if that's your need, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?